Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
One of the ways of describing the life that we live is to talk about it from the perspective of solving a set of problems or making a set of decisions. This is one of the ways that we can view the life that we live, that we're confronted with a number of things and we just simply have to make choices. We have to decide what we are going to do with ourselves, with our own lives. Sometimes it's in response to circumstances that we are confronted with. Other times it's just a matter of, well, what are we going to do with ourselves? What are we going to do about where we will live or what kind of work we're going to be involved in and where we are going to do it? Sometimes people deal with the question of who am I going to get married to or where am I going to go shopping or do I go on a vacation or on a mission trip, things like that. And so when we are confronted with these decisions that we will have to make about what we are going to do with our lives, our ability to decide, we have an ability to make a decision, to decide what we are going to do with our lives or in response to the circumstances that we're confronted with. This represents a form of power or a form of authority that we do have over our own lives. Now, sometimes this can be a little bit of a struggle to think about the significance of you having power and authority over your own life, being able to make choices and decisions about what you are going to do, what you're going to participate in, or what you're not going to do or participate in. And sometimes this can be a little scary when we think about the significance of being able to make choices, because it's easy to make a choice that could result in consequences that we're not interested in. But the reality is that we do make choices. And even though this can be a little scary sometimes, there are ways that people find in order to mitigate or manage the fear that can be associated with making decisions for ourselves. One of the ways to address this is to assume that there is some higher power of some kind who is out there managing and controlling everything. And whether you are a person of faith or a person who is of no faith at all, there are views, there are perspectives that people take that take the position that we're not really making as many choices or decisions as we might think that we are making. That there is something called fate that exists or providence that exists. Another word that describes this is destiny. That there is some kind of force or power of some kind that exists that is defining the destiny for your life, that defines your fate, that establishes providence, a type of priority over your decision-making process, and that these things are going to be left up to someone else, not necessarily to you. This can be quite appealing for folks who do not want to have any sense of responsibility for their own lives, where they can shift responsibility or make the assumption that responsibility is going to be given to someone else. So that if things go poorly in their life, they can just simply blame fate, or they can say it's not their destiny to have a life like yours. Or if things are going really well, and they don't want to assert any sense of personal pride or make it obvious that it had to do with their own personal decisions, that they will say that it was just their fate, it was their destiny that they would be doing so well. Or they might assert that in order to try to exaggerate the point that they did make really good decisions. There are different ways that people will approach this philosophy, the philosophy of destiny, where people do not believe that they really have many choices or many decisions to make in life, that these things are decided or chosen for them, and they are just simply going through their life, living and experiencing the decisions of something else or someone else. When it comes to people of faith, normally people who are identifying themselves as Christians, when it comes to a Christian, there is another form of this, and we call this the will of God. That there is a will of God for your life, that there is a plan of God for your life. And some people will take this to the extent where they will say that you don't have any choices. You don't have any decisions. There is nothing that is going to happen in your life unless it is the decision and the choice and the will, the desire of God for you. Now, this can be quite appealing for people who do not want to assume any sense of personal responsibility for themselves, for their own decisions, for their own life experience. They can just simply shift the authority to a higher power, to God, and in that way, they can relinquish any power or any authority that they may have over their own lives and just simply live their life enjoying the decisions that God makes for them. Now, I certainly do believe that we have a God who participates in our lives and does establish plans and things for us to participate in. I certainly do not believe that he doesn't do anything. I do believe that he does do a lot. However, when it comes to the subject of making decisions and choices, I think it is abundantly obvious that we do have the power, the authority to make decisions and choices in our own lives. And that we do have a God who is another person who wants to be a part of our lives and who wants to live our lives with us. But when it comes to questions such as where do we live or where do we work or what kind of work do we do or who do we get married to or where do we go shopping or do we go on a mission trip or vacation like I mentioned earlier, when it comes to these things, I think it's easy for people to make the assumption that God has already made all of these decisions and we're just simply going through life experiencing these decisions that he has supposedly made, instead of considering that maybe we have something to do with it as well. When it comes to someone who does not believe in God, this is easy for them to embrace because they don't have him as a person on their mind or in their thoughts, that they may assume that maybe he has something to say about what their life is or what their life is going to be like. And so for a person who does not identify themselves as a Christian, to consider that they have power and authority in their own life and responsibility as well is not difficult. But for those who embrace Christianity, for those who embrace the reality that there really is a God who is participating in our lives, this can often be quite a struggle. So I talk with people a lot about this. I do hear from people a lot who ask me questions about what the will of God is for them. Or what should they do about certain circumstances that they are confronted with in their lives, especially when things don't work out the way that they were expecting their lives to work out. And they are thinking, is this really the will of God for me? Is this really what he wants? Especially when it's extremely painful and destructive. They have a hard time with that. They have a hard time believing that perhaps this is something that God has decided that this is what they should experience. And I do believe that sometimes he might participate in their lives in that way, but most of the time I don't think that he does. I think that this is just simply the natural consequence of being a part of the world that we are living in. But people ask me about this a lot, especially because they don't know what the will of God is for them. They don't know what his desire is for them or what his plan is for them, and they're wondering what it could possibly be, and so they ask me. They ask me, well, what do you think about the circumstances that I am in, and what do you think the will of God is for me? What do you think I should do or not do? And when it comes to circumstances like this, the most common response that I have is to ask the question, well, do you believe that the Lord is sharing something specific with you? Do you believe that He is communicating with you directly and making it abundantly clear what He has on His mind and what His intentions are and what He's doing? Has He made it clear to you? Do you believe He has communicated with you and given you perfect understanding with regards to what is going on in your life at this time? And when a person says, no, I don't think that I have an understanding, I don't know what He is thinking, I don't know what He is doing, and He is not communicating with me in a way that I can understand, and so that's why I'm asking you. And so my response has to be, well, I don't think that we have a God who has a communication problem. I really don't. I think He's perfectly capable of communicating to you clearly and perfectly and in a way that you are not going to have any confusion at all about what He is sharing with you and about what He is telling you. I don't think that we have a God who has a communication problem. And so if He is not saying anything to you, if He's not talking with you, and you've given Him plenty of time to do so, of course, if He is not sharing things with you about what's going on right now, it could be that maybe He doesn't want to tell you anything right now. He intends to tell you something later. Or it could be that He has nothing to do with what is going on at all at this present time, and that you are being confronted with a decision or with a problem, and you are going to have to decide what you are going to do. And the Lord may simply be giving you the authority and the responsibility to make the decision for your own life about what it's going to look like. That doesn't mean that He's not a part of your life. It just means that this is an aspect of your life, or this is a place or a space in your life where He is allowing you to shape it in the way that you would like to shape it, to build it in the way that you would like to build it, to make a decision about what you value, about what you want to see or not see, or what your response is going to be. And that regardless of what your decisions or your choices will be, He will be with you. He will be with you through it one way or another, and He will be a part of your life, and He will allow you to be a part of His life as well, but that this is something that you get to decide and do on your own. That could be the simple explanation with regards to why you do not know what the will of God is for your life, at least in this particular circumstance. If you don't know, if you don't understand, and you are seeking, and He is not sharing anything with you, it's probably just because He has left it open for you to decide what you would like to do with yourself and with your own experiences that you are having. And so there are people who do believe in fate and in providence and destiny, and they will reshape it and redescribe it in the Christian context to such an extent that people get paralyzed, that people get stuck, and they don't do anything, or they do make bad choices and bad decisions. And so I believe this is an important topic, to talk about the subject of the will of God. And I'm going to do that for the next few programs, or I don't know how many programs it's going to be at the time that I'm recording this first one, but I'm introducing the subject in this way by talking about it as a set of decisions, as a set of problems. And that certainly there are times when God will participate, and there are times when He simply will not. There are times when He makes decisions, and there are times when He doesn't. And that we have to understand that if we have an interactive, personal relationship with Him, that this is part of it. That this is just simply part of the relationship that we have, that we have a person who is with us, who relates to us, but He does not control every aspect of our existence in our daily lives. Now, if we don't do this, then we're going to be stuck with this paradox of how do we have our own will? How do we have our own ability to make decisions? The freedom. How do we have the freedom to make decisions for ourselves in our own lives? And at the same time, God has absolute control over our own lives and our decisions. That's a paradox that will be very difficult to explain. And one of the struggles that we have to deal with when it comes to this is that if we do have the power and the authority to make a decision that is contrary to the will of God, there could be consequences to making the wrong decision, and this can be quite a threat, quite a concern, can generate a tremendous amount of fear in a person's life when they think about the significance of this. The one example that I think I like the most has to do with getting married, because I talk with people a lot about the issues of marriage, normally because they're struggling in their marriage and they're wondering if this marriage really is the will of God for them or not. Or they are thinking about marrying someone and they're wondering if this is the person who God has chosen for them to marry. And sometimes he may choose someone. Other times he may not. And again, I take the position that if he doesn't make it abundantly clear to you in a way that you feel the absolute conviction that God has made a decision with regards to this in your life, then it probably means he has not. But there are tremendous consequences that could result if you do have the authority, and if you do have the power to marry someone who you're not supposed to marry because God did not decide that, it is not within his will. Just to give you an exaggerated example, this is what happens. What would happen is that if you marry the wrong person, then you will have taken them out of the marriage pool, out of the pool of people, out of the collection of people who would marry someone else. So if you marry someone who was allocated for someone else, now you have caused a tremendous disruption in the marriage process that God has defined. You have removed someone from marrying someone who God wanted them to marry, and so that other person now is going to probably marry somebody else again that God did not want them to marry. And then another one after that, and another one after that. And it shouldn't take very long for you to realize that if you marry the wrong person, that this could cause a ripple effect throughout the entire world, throughout the entire globe, that will cause a disruption in the history of humanity because you decided to marry the wrong person. This is the kind of example that we would end up having to deal with, that we would end up having to discuss about the significance of making a decision or a choice that is outside of the will of God. If the will of God is to have absolute control and authority over all of these decisions that could possibly be made. So you had better be careful about where you go to work, about what job you take, about where you're going to live, or whether you go shopping or not. You had better be very careful and very cautious about where you might go, what you might do, who you might talk with, because you could cause a tremendous disruption in the intents and in the plans of God. Now, this is not an unusual thought. This is not an unusual issue that people have dealt with from a philosophical point of view. It goes all the way back to the Greek philosophers of 300 and 400 BC, and before them as well, even though we don't have a lot of recorded history when it comes to this subject. This is not a new discussion at all. And why it is that most of the paganistic philosophies will take the position that we have to have a God who has absolute control and power over everything, otherwise the consequences would be catastrophic all the time. And this is why destiny and fate and providence are important primary philosophical principles of all paganistic philosophies, as opposed to the relational concept of there being a living God who is an active participant, but only participates to the extent where he will not interfere, not directly, not often, with the will, the choice, and the decision-making power that you have, that he provides everyone with the freedom to have their own will, and he will work within the boundaries that are given to him according to the choices and the decisions that we make for ourselves. You do that, you are surrounded by a lot of people And these people have their own decisions, they have their own choices, they have their own wills, and they exercise them on a regular basis, and you navigate through that, and you participate in their lives, and they participate in yours. So also we have a God who relates to us in that way as well, as another person. He certainly has the ability to have a lot more influence than other people have in our lives, but still, we have a God who gives us the freedom to make choices and decisions for ourselves, to enjoy the benefits and the consequences related to those decisions. So when it comes to the subject of the will of God, I will not be addressing the topic from the perspective of how do we figure out the will of God for our lives. I will not be addressing it from that point of view of what would He like us to do or not do, or where should we go, or what should we eat for dinner, those kinds of questions. I'm not going to address it from that perspective because I don't see that that is His perspective of the subject. I believe that His perspective is that He does have a set of desires, He does have a set of plans, a set of interests, He is actively participating, that His will, as expressed by His desire for us, is certainly very real, that He has a desire for our individual lives. I do believe that, and I will spend some time talking about that in later programs. But before I do that, I'm going to talk about the will of God from a different perspective. And this was presented in the book of Hebrews, as well as in a number of other places. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, the will of God is described as an inheritance. The will of God is a description of an inheritance that we have received as a result of His death. So I'll begin to talk about this subject from the perspective of the inheritance that we have received. That when there is a will that has been written, there is the necessity for the person to die in order for that will to go into effect to distribute an inheritance. And then from there, I will be able to describe His desire, the will of God from the perspective of His desire. I will use the inheritance as a base or as a foundation to say that, as you can see, this is what He has given to us as a result of His death. This has implications in our lives, and this does reveal a lot about what His desire is for us as we do live our lives and engage the world that He has created. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, it says, "And for this reason He is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." That's the word that is used for the will, the testament. It is the will of God. We have the Old Testament, the old will, the New Testament, the new will, and these are descriptions of inheritance. It is the inheritance that the Lord gives to us that we are to take and to use and to integrate within our lives. We are to live with what He gives to us. And then from there, we can expand and we can discover more about who He is and how He relates to us, and we can grow in our relationship with Him. But it all begins with what He gives. First, it is a description, the will of God is a description of what He gives to us as an inheritance as a result of His death. And then after that, we can grow to understand Him as a person, and we can grow to understand His desire for us. That is another aspect of the will of God that I will spend some time talking about. But after I spend some time presenting the issues related to the inheritance that we have received and how that really has an effect on your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus. So in the next program, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about the subject of inheritance as it relates to the Old Covenant mainly, so that you have the historical background with regards to how he presented the topic first to the nation of Israel, and then how that foreshadowed the reality that we now have in the New Testament and the New Covenant that he has established for us, and the inheritance that we have as believers in comparison with the inheritance that the nation of Israel was able to obtain through their covenant with him. Thank you for listening. This program is the first program in the series on the will of God. And in this program, I emphasize the point that there is a lot of concern that people have about knowing the will of God for their life. And I was explaining that the reason for this concern is because people are making a lot of assumptions about what the will of God is and about to what extent God will have an influence or a control within their lives. And that the best approach is to have a more clear definition of what his will is. And the place that I believe a person should start is with regards to a description of an inheritance they have received. And that the confusion that people have can better be understood when we realize that God does not have a communication problem. It is our understanding and our assumptions that can make things like this difficult.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.